I deviate from the study of Revelation, and I take the opportunity on Mother's Day and Father's Day to break away and look at what Scripture has to say. And I feel that's important because the role of parenting in our society is under attack. It has been really from the very foundation, but in recent days and years, it is very much so under attack. And the role of father, the role of mother are vital within the family unit, within our church, within our communities, our nation, and our world. There is a war that is raging in opposition to these roles. Europe has already relegated the role of father and mother to parent one and parent two. And I understand that when we come to Mother's Day, that you're going to hear me mention fathers and mothers both today in my message. There's a simple reason why. God's design was that mothers and fathers parent together. It's an amazing design, it's an amazing plan, and I understand that due to various circumstances, that sometimes that's not possible, that we have single mothers, we have single fathers, we have grandparents that end up raising children. But this morning, we're going to focus on the role of motherhood. The family institution of father, mother, child, grandparent, grandchild is God's design. It is the first and most fundamental institution that He established. And understand that it was established by Him. And if God establishes something like gender, if God establishes something like marriage, if God establishes something like family, then God has the right to dictate how it should function. Do you not agree?
Amen.
All right, good. We're on the same page. So as we look at God's word today, we're going to look at that role. And church, it is scary when we look out there and realize that not only are these roles of father and mother under attack, but our children are under attack. I read a lot of quotes this week, but I read two that gave me great pause. One, I'm sure you've heard it before, said this: "He alone who owns the youth gains the future." Adolf Hitler. Another, by an atheist influencer, said this: "It is in the minds and hearts of our children that the battle will be fought." That should concern us. The world around us is bringing the battle to our children. There is a battle for them. I read a quote by Ken Ham this week that honestly brought some concern as you consider some of the statistics. But he said, "Sadly, many parents don't understand that the atheist and other secularists are out to capture the hearts and minds of generations of children. And unfortunately, they aren't aware that the secularists have already been very successful in our schools, media, museums, and etc. They are being successful. They are influencing and capturing the minds of our children." He said, goes on to say, "Yes, the children of this nation are under fierce attack by secularists. I'm having a hard time saying that word. We have already seen two-thirds. Listen to this. We have seen two-thirds of children from church homes walking away from the church. Folks, these are ones that are raised up in the church, in Christian homes. Two-thirds are walking away by the time they reach college age, and few are returning. That should give pause to the church. Why is that? I find that we as a society are allowing parent to be relegated to its basic noun definition. The church is becoming just as guilty as our society. That noun definition, the very basic of it, is simply this: one that brings forth offspring. And we have relegated parenting to that. The other definition there going on is a person who brings up and cares for another. And often that role of parent is being delegated to somebody else. The verb form of that is to be or act as the parent of. In other words, as in the verb essence, you are bringing up and caring for those that God has entrusted to you. But we hand it off. Church, parents, mothers, fathers, grandparents, we cannot, we should not hand off the bringing up and caring for our children. Do not even think that you should hand off the bringing up and caring for to a Sunday school teacher, to a pastor, a youth pastor. It is the role of parent. And when we consider the roles of father and mother, we can look to Scripture and see that God has a stance on this. In fact, that's what we're going to do this morning. This morning is a very topical message. I normally preach expositorily, take a passage and go through it. I don't normally preach topically, but the topic of motherhood, parenting, and God's view on it is an important topic. And so we're going to deviate today and look at the topic of parenting, and guess what? It's not an option. God commands this. Look with me in your Bibles. As Israel would come out of Egypt, as God is introducing himself to his people, as he is introducing his standards, guess what? Parenting rises to the top. And as he's sharing his law, his standards for living, he gives us this command found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You're going to have to go back to your Old Testament. Back to the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And you will find there in chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, it reads this way. These words, mind you, God has been sharing many words with his people, his commands, his laws, his standards. He goes, these words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. This is not the first time you've heard me read these words. Let me just take a moment here to look at several observations real quick about this passage. First and foremost, these words, the very words that God was giving his people, the word of God, that's what these words are. And he says to them, these words are given to you. And these words are to be known by you. Do not think that this book, that these words should only be known by your pastor, by your elders, by your leaders. This is to be known by God's people. We're to know this. And he says, once you know them. And he's speaking to parents. He's also speaking to the general assembly here. But once you know them, now you have an obligation. And by the way, that does not mean that you have to have a full comprehensive understanding of everything in God's word before you start this. In fact, this is as you go through life, as you continue to know God's word more, as you go, teach them diligently. I love that word, diligently, because it conveys an ongoing steadfastness in what you are doing. It is giving great effort. It's not something we just do willy-nilly or slack whenever we feel like it or it's convenient. This is something to teach diligently. And God, as he is unfolding his word here, he says, you do this, you teach, and it's an ongoing conversation. It's not something you just do once and say, hey, we're going to have this conversation, one and done. No, it is an ongoing. It says, when you sit down, when you relax in your home, let this be part of your conversation. When you are walking around the house, when you're enjoying meals together, when you're relaxing outside or whatever it is, around the home, let God's word be a part of your conversations. Work it in. If it's a part of your life, if it's a part of your heart, then it should be the outpouring that just comes out in your day-to-day situations as you're at home. And then it says, when you're going about your life, when you're going out to work, when you're going and enjoying things and activities together, when you're walking, make God a part of it. Allow the children to understand that God's word is an active part of our lives. And then he says, when you lie down, when you wake up. In other words, start your day looking at God's word, thinking about him. Finish your day thinking about God, making him a part of it, thanking him for the day, asking for rest and peace, because you had a crazy day or a difficult day, but making God a part of how you start and end your day. This is something that is to be ongoing with the people of God. And as parents, fathers and mothers, this is something that we're to do. But God addresses all his people here. I think this is a very key point. Church, look around. We have some young people in our audience right now. Some already went through those doors there. If you look around, I'm sure you can find someone younger than you, at least most of you. Few maybe not, right? But guess what? There is someone that you can invest in, that you can teach. And it addresses all people. This is a group effort. As God addressed this to his people, Israel, he's saying, this is what I want you to do as a whole. And as parents, grandparents, as everyone together. Parenting can be overwhelming and stressful. In fact, the Wall Street Journal did an article It says that parenting can be hazardous to your health, according to the Surgeon General. That intrigued me. I know, you thought smoking was bad. Well, wait till you parent. Whew! Man, I read that and I'm like, well, that's not going to help people wanting to have kids. But here's the warning aspect of it. As you read the Surgeon General's warning, it addressed things like stress. How many of you as parents have ever felt stressed in or grandparents or just, okay, let's just be honest, working with kids, okay? I mean, they can be stressful sometimes. Okay, a lot of times, right? And they said, parenting brings great stress. Warning. And then there was, and I felt these other two factors that they really focused on were intriguing. Parenting brings about loneliness. That was one of the chief concerns about parenting. Loneliness. And the other thing that was stressed in this warning that parenting can be hazardous to your health was weariness. I understand being tired. My goodness, I have never met a mother that had a little infant that was not just exhausted. Somehow the dad had more sleep than the mom even. It's weird. Being a mom is exhausting. I mean, I wouldn't know firsthand, but I've observed it. And I was a kid, I brought some of that exhaustion. But weariness is different than being tired, isn't it? Weary. In response to this, the article really fascinated me, and many responded to it. But Answers in Genesis gave this. Let me read just a blip from what they said. It says, perhaps... Excuse me. They said, perhaps families are more stressed because so many of them are not plugged into a local church. Imagine. They said, only 30% of United States adults attend some form of religious services regularly. This is not Christian churches. This is just any religion out there. America is an unchurched nation, folks. Only 30% of those out there attend even some form of religious organization of any sort. It's even fewer for those in the evangelical church. And therefore, they do not have community. Therefore, they do not have support and partnership that the family of God has offered for generations. God called us to do this together. To encourage, they go on to write, older women aren't teaching the younger women how to love their husbands and children, as Titus 2:4 says, or the older men aren't encouraging and supporting fathers in their job of spiritual leading their homes. We see reports like this, and it should be a reminder to us as the church that we need to support one another. We need to come alongside that community of believers, the family of God, and encourage one another. Older women. And yes, I'm going to call some of you women older, and some of you are older and don't want to admit it. But if your children are almost grown and out of the house, you're getting to that older woman stage. And mark my words, you need to pay attention here because you need to come alongside these mothers who have younger children. You need to mentor them, encourage them. Make sure they're not feeling alone or weary because you've gone through that. I think the problem is sometimes we don't want to admit we're old until we're too old. Come alongside. God's told us to. For teaching God's word, I have a special place in my heart for the wisdom literature. The wisdom literature in Scripture offers so much practical life advice. So moms, if you're wondering where do I start, that's a really good place to start. And Proverbs holds a special place in my heart. I grew up in one of those really difficult Christian homes where my mother forced me to listen to God's word. I'm being very sarcastic there. Where she would actually sit us down on a couch early in the morning when we'd rather be in bed, and she would open up the book of Proverbs to whatever day it was, so today it would be Proverbs 11, and we would read through that proverb. Every day once I reached 16, she's like, well, you know what, it's time you start doing this on your own. But she was still doing it with my younger siblings. Every day we opened up and had to hear the wisdom of God. And I praise God she did. Proverbs in chapter 1 and chapter 6 begin expressing the importance of not disregarding the words and teachings of a father and mother. Proverbs 1, verse 8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck." You turn over to chapter 6. Just a few pages over. I got a lot of highlights in Proverbs, by the way. But in chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "My son." And by the way, it says "my son" because Solomon was talking to his boys. And as the writers would reflect, they're reflecting on things their parents, their father or mother taught them. And the writers were men, so often referred to as son. But guess what? We can apply these things, all of us. It says, "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you." The words of Scripture bound up in the heart of a child. Whether I wanted to remember them or not, I heard them so many times. They are ingrained in my heart. Because I had a mother who diligently read the word of God to me. I'm not saying she was a perfect mother, but she did that really good. Instructions and commands come from the fathers. Fathers, we'll look at that more on Father's Day. But teaching comes from the mother. The instruction that's talked about there is a principle or general rule. It's intended to relegate thought or behavior. That's what the father's instruction does. It creates a culture through instruction or a message. And Father, there's a message that we need to have. We'll learn about that in just a few weeks. But teaching, over and over, it talks about teaching coming from the mother. It's something that's taught to the child. And interestingly enough, Webster defines it as especially teaching principles or doctrine. Teaching. A lesson explained through words and engagement. That's the role of a mother with a child. 220 times this Hebrew word appears in the Old Testament. Many times the Hebrew word is Torah. We associate the Torah with that Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. The very thing that God gave Israel on, here's my standard for life. It's interesting when it comes to what a mother is teaching, it's the Torah, it's the teachings of God's Word. And it's saying, children, do not disregard the teachings of these principles, these doctrines that are being taught to you. Do not disregard it. Words. Did you notice the emphasis as the writer of Proverbs was expressing, do not disregard the words. Moms, what you say, what you teach matters. Grandmas, great grandmas, what you say, what you teach matters. And you have an obligation to teach doctrine, to teach God's Word. That is not relegated to the pastor. My responsibility is to equip you to do this well. Mothers are the greatest missionaries this world has ever seen. There is a value to the words you're teaching when you teach these words. That goes for anyone in this room. There is a value to what you teach when you teach these words. And if you are being taught these words as a young person, as an adult, value them. I was curious about words, so I looked into something. Like, what is the first word a baby says? I know, this is really controversial, okay? Is it mama or dada? Dada. Yeah. Dada. I was like, what? This is not going to go over well on Mother's Day. I'm like, really? And really, most hold, the research shows that most of it often is dada. First of all, because the pronunciation is just easier for a baby's little mouth to dada, dada, okay? So, but there's also the association aspect of it too for the baby, for the child. The association, some linguists theorize that babies might associate dada with a separate entity, daddy, right? Whereas mama, initially to a child, is just an extension of themselves. I mean, and in truth, for 9 months, that's the case. And really, after they're born, it's almost the case, unless they're getting their diaper changed or they're sleeping. So they associate mama with just an extension of themselves, but dada with a separate entity. And they hear. Listen to this. They hear that one they are so close to encouraging and saying, dada. Oh, dada's home. They hear. They stressed, it is so important what children hear. They said they encourage reading, talking, and singing with the baby to encourage language development and understanding about life. Well, if you're going to read to them, my goodness, well, here we go. If you're going to sing to them, why not sing of the amazing grace and love of our Savior? If you're going to talk with them, share how Jesus loves them. D.L. Moody, the greatest theological thing he has ever heard was taught to him by his mother, that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's a great song. It's a great truth. Moms, you are influential in your child's life. And I know some may be thinking, I've missed it. There's always opportunity. When we think of Proverbs and teaching children, there's one proverb that comes to the surface. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That word train, I love that word train. It's used other places of dedicate. When they dedicated the temple, when they dedicated the walls of Jerusalem, it is a dedication to God. Train them in such a way that you are dedicating them to God. It also has this idea of narrowing. Narrowing. Train up a child in the way he should go. There is a narrow way for that child to go. Jesus Christ himself would say, enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. When you train, you need to narrow their understanding, their focus. There is a purpose in what you are training them for, training them to, and it's God's word. And yes, it is narrow-minded, because narrow is the path that leads to God. When we teach, are we dedicating those children to the Lord and what we say and do? Is our focus narrow enough to actually fit what God says? Or are we trying to expand it to just be comfortable? What's taught in the young life will direct them for the rest of their life. Mark my words. It is wrong. It is unbiblical for a parent to think that they just let their children choose for themselves what they want. That is an unbiblical concept. No, there is a right way. Proverbs 29:15 says, a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. There is one way, and we have to teach them to follow God's way, follow God's word. In closing, I want us to look quickly at God's words. You need to teach them. I need to teach them. These words hold life. These words direct on the right path. You read through Proverbs this month, just one a day, and you will see the wisdom that God gives for everyday life. I love the words of Jesus' mother. She had a way of putting something really plain and simple. when they're at the wedding and there were servants there, she looked at the servants and she says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. I don't think a mother could give any better advice to her children. When she says to her children, whatever he says to do, do it. What a simple message to give your children. If Jesus says to do it, then you need to do it. If you don't do it, it's wrong. I like simple messages. I want to close with an illustration of a mother and a grandmother that took the time to teach, to train, to narrow that focus for a young man. That young man would receive two letters from the Apostle Paul. His name is Timothy. Timothy was an amazing pastor of Ephesus. He was the one that Paul would entrust his work to. But listen to what he says in his second letter to this young man. He says, for I am mindful, in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. So crucial were the roles of these two women in teaching him that we have them even in Scripture. But look what he says just a little bit later in that letter. We know that these women taught the word because he writes this, you, Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, wow, this started as a child, from childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you realize these women, they poured into Timothy and the words gave salvation. This book right here, these words that we teach to our children bring salvation and life. And I don't know a mother who doesn't want the best life for their child. I find it interesting, as Paul encourages Timothy to remember what he was taught as a child, he follows up with these words that we know well in verse 16. Many of our Awana clubbers could tell you. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Ooh, God's word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. And there's some children that could use reproof and correction, right? Yeah, okay. For training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Moms, you want to equip your child for the life that God has for them? You want to teach them, raise them? The two things, do not neglect the opportunity that you have to teach the words of wisdom from this book. And secondly, do not neglect the explicit command. It's a command, it's not an option. The command you have been given to teach these words. I want to close with the words that were read earlier. I'm going to close with them in my message. Mothers, you that will do this for your children, it says something about you. And at this point, I would ask that all the women stand up. I am going to commend you to this. In Proverbs 31, speaking of an amazing woman, following up where King Lemuel even gives praise to what his mother taught, it closes this way. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. Men, we need to honor these women, these mothers. Their role deserves it. It is a role that is to be honored. I want to pray for you all right now. God, you are an amazing God. And Lord, these women standing, God, I pray that you would use them in amazing ways. As they come alongside each other, as they come alongside the older to the younger and mentor, God, I pray that you would use them as they train, as they teach the younger generation, as they train and teach children, their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. God, may we as the church not disregard the role of mother that you have given, but God, may we honor it. And so, Lord, I pray for each of these women, whether mothers or not, that you would use them in a mighty way for the next generation. And God, you have equipped them in such beautiful ways. We praise you. So God, we give you the glory and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to have your word to pass on. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mothers, happy Mother's Day. And I need two ladies to meet me in the back real quick, young ladies, and while we close with a wonderful song here.